bags?
Sure. We have a lot of flowers and pom-poms.
Yeah.
And make it happen.
Downtown Little Rock is crowded with book lovers of all varieties for the annual Arkansas Literary Fest. Among the presenters is Gail Zucker, co-author and photographer of the book Craft Activism, People, Ideas, and Projects from the New Community of Handmade and How You Can Join In. After a short presentation, Gail, along with librarian and fellow knitter Patrice O'Donohue, break out a large collection of recycled knitted and crocheted items to yarn bomb the area near the library. Yarn bombing is often referred to as knit graffiti, and on this sunny afternoon, participants secure knitted or crocheted items to light posts, benches, and other non-organic urban landmarks. The black metal and the gray concrete suddenly become alive with bright red and blue, soft tactile shades of green and pink, fuzzy yellows and oranges, all discarded handcrafts taking on a new life. Because Little Rock is a green city, participants also hang yarn from the shrubbery and the trees. The yarn pom-poms almost look as if they're growing from the branches. Pretty soon, more and more people were stopping by and joining in, both adults and children, and it wasn't long before the yarn bombing group had nearly doubled. After the yarn bombing was complete, I sat down and spoke with Gail about her book, which features profiles of the women and organizations behind the new generation of craft activism. And we talked about some of her thoughts on the power of crafting to build and strengthen communities.
I think humans want to connect, and you just wouldn't walk up to a stranger and start talking, even if you were both in the library on the same day. But when you give somebody something to do, it's like an excuse to start talking. And then what was so cool is, I mean, we had everything from, you know, moms and little kids. We had a bunch of teenagers who joined in. One of them said, I don't want to do flowers, so she made, like, recycled sweater Pac-Mans. And a couple of the boys, and these were guys who were probably, I don't know, they're probably 14 years old, 14, 15 years old, and they said, you know, we could put things on here that aren't flowers, too. Like, they just got into it. It's just a really good community builder.
Gail has a background in photojournalism, and this is the second book she's co-authored with Joan Tapper. Their first was Sheer Spirit, 10 Fiber Farms, 20 Patterns, and Miles of Yarn, and it profiled the yarn-making community. This most recent book is part pattern book, part artist profile, and part how-to guide to becoming active in the crafting community. Broken up into five sections, including crafting a statement, redrafting the past, crafting for a cause, crafting to recycle, renew, and reuse, and crafting to create a community, you can't look at this book and not want to start making something new.
Our editor had given us the mission to make sure that there was like an action aspect so that when you were reading something, if you were excited, you could spring into action. And it became a little bit of a joke, our action sidebars. So we wanted to make sure that the crafts we included were things that people could fairly easily try without having to go out and buy a bunch of specialized equipment or use something that was toxic or have to pay a lot of money to have access to some kind of special welding tool.
The crafter profiles range from a guitar player who gave up music for embroidery, changing the face of the Austin art scene in the process, to a woman who knits and displays elaborate animal patterns as fine art, calling attention to endangered species, to Carolyn Mazlumi and the Women of Color Quilters Network.
And she had put out the call for this exhibit to women who had, and she asked for people not just to have quilts that were about Obama's election or an inauguration, but about anything about civil rights, about the whole civil rights movement, and then culminating in Obama's inauguration. So when I went to go photograph her, the exhibit had been moved to the Wilberforce Museum, which is actually part of the Smithsonian, and I think it's the Civil Rights Museum in Wilberforce, Ohio. And she asked a group of women who were not too far away to come and meet together. One of the women there was Dr. Cleota Lewis, who was a quilter. She was in her 90s. She was wearing this fabulous outfit that was all crazy quilted. And just fabulous. I mean, everything, and even her shoes were crazy quilted, and she makes all her own clothes that way. She had a necklace that was made of all kinds of charms that had meaning to her. There was, like, charms that had said NAACP. There were things that were from the Civil Rights Movement or people she admired or sayings, places she had been. And she told me that in every piece she does, whether it's a quilt that gets hung on a wall or if it's her clothing, there is a tiny, tiny, tiny bit of faded pink and white gingham. And that gingham came from an apron that had been her grandmother's, and her grandmother had been a slave. So, I mean, to me, that was so moving. And for everybody who is in the book, who is a craft activist who really wears their message on their sleeve and puts their word out there, this was equally as strong a message to me that she very quietly was carrying this thing in her craft.
Throughout the book, the profiled crafters touch on topics of human rights and how crafting can channel the ongoing struggle, both embracing and reinventing the skills of the past to work toward the future, and in the process, creating new symbols for a younger generation.
Like, for instance, we kept on finding early on an interest in aprons. And I kept on saying to Joan, I think we should have aprons in here. And she'd be like, aprons? Oh, no, that's crazy. Why would one have aprons in here? And Joan said, I wouldn't go near an apron in my own life ever. You know, to me, an apron's a symbol of, like, what I, you know, really didn't want to do when I grew up. And then I was saying, well, Joan, you know, Joan's a few years older than I am, and I guess I grew up at a time when I was sort of, I guess, second wave feminism. So women my age didn't wear aprons, and we didn't teach our kids to wear aprons, and we didn't emphasize cooking and sewing maybe to our kids as they were growing up as being important things to learn as a girl. And so those girls are now in their 20s and wishing that they kind of had this skill set, and how cool it is to connect to doing what used to be called domestic arts. But the interesting spin on it now in this sort of third wave feminism is it's a very empowering thing to know how to make things. And I think it's whether you're a man or a woman.
While some of the crafters featured in the book work with ancient materials like cotton and wool, there are also artists like Virginia Fleck who use modern materials to explore concepts of waste.
She lives in Austin, and she said it would really bug her to go to, like, a big box store. And she said, who are these people who buy things, and then when they get to their car, they take them out of the bag, and they somehow throw the bag on the ground, and it's blowing through this great big parking lot. And she'd go pick up the bags and started looking at all the different colors on them and the sayings and thinking, what can I make with them? And she started to do some sort of sculptural art where they were inflated. And then she realized she could just cut them up and make mandalas with them and just kind of repurpose them. And it's more than just using it as a material. She also looks at the message, like the more hidden message of, like, this is something you threw away, but I'm making it into art now.
Modern crafting evokes and critiques social messages, furthers causes, defines arts, and builds bridges between generations. And it's also generating new economies, allowing many crafters to use online sales as a way to create a modern cottage industry of sorts.
What do you think? Do you like my edition?
I love your edition. I think you should keep going.
Back at the yarn bombing outside the library, participants chat about their yarn graffiti, which is by now covering all the benches, bushes, and light poles. Even my son's stroller was yarn bombed with some pink yarn pom-poms when they came by with their father to have a look. It's truly an intergenerational activity. Today's group has included teenagers, women, and their young children, even random middle-aged passers-by. Working on this book, Gail says, reaffirmed her love for the potentially revolutionizing power of art and crafting.
It confirmed everything I believed about the power of handmade, because in taking part in yarn bombings or connecting with people when I travel, and people send me emails about, oh, I wanted you to know about this project we did in our community. And that's kind of the power of creating community where you don't think you're going to by making something together.
You can find the book and learn more about Gail and Joan's work in documenting the world of craft activism at their blog, craftactivism.com. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Meredith Martin-Motes.